Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in today. We're looking forward to having you along the ride as we face the issues. Let me remind you, lest I forget it. Sometimes I get caught up and involved in the conversation, the dialogue, and the discussion that I fail to remind you. You can join in the dialogue and discussion. In fact, we invite you to do so. You can dial 831-0917, 831-0917. That telephone call gets you directly through to the studios, right to our microphones, so that we can entertain your question, your comment, your involvement in dialogue about the issue of the day. That's 831-0917. If you're out of the area code, it's 904, 904-831-0917. We'd be delighted to hear from you. In fact, the program is designed around you, our listener, where we involve you in the dialogue and the discussion each day, and it's our privilege to do so. It's our prayer that the information that you receive will be challenging, stimulating, inspiring, and informative. It would cause you to be better equipped to face life each day. You know, as we face life, we need to do so based on the authority of Scripture. Scripture is the only truth that we have. You won't find truth with CNN or any other fake media. You won't find truth with Nancy Pelosi and her freezer full of top drawer, top-notch, expensive ice cream. And yet, while there is major dilemma and in many places in America, hunger, Nancy Pelosi is bragging about the expensive ice cream she has while she sits in her castle and watches the world, and especially America, in a state of churning and spinning out of control with the lockdown that's been enforced upon us by our wannabe democratic, socialist, Marxist dictators. But we're going to be talking about that today, ladies and gentlemen. We asked them the question in a statement form. No free speech? Question mark. What about that? Do you think, this is a question for you to ponder, do you think that it is proper? Do you think that it is right? Do you believe that it's constitutional for our government to say that you can't go in and out of your home, to basically put you on house arrest? Do you believe that it's right, proper? Do you believe that it's constitutional that the government can tell us what we can say and what we can't? That the government can say, stay in your home, hide under the bed, hide in the closet, shut your churches down, cease and desist having anything to do with your friends and your neighbors and your family, simply lock down? Do you believe that that is appropriate constitutionally or biblically? Do you believe that's appropriate? That's what we're going to talk about today. And as we do, we're going to do so based on a central Biblicist viewpoint. Central Biblicist worldview simply means that the Word of God is the first, foremost, and the final authority, not man, not government, that we need to faith God, fear God, honor God, and recognize when government is intruding upon our God-given and constitutional rights that we have in America. I don't know about you, but perhaps you wonder sometimes why I'm so passionate about the issue of biblical truth and constitutional liberties and why we should be concerned. Let me say at the very top of the program today that without our religious liberties, without the Bill of Rights, without our Constitution as the framework from whence America has been developed for these many years, without that, there'd be no freedom of religion. There would be no freedom to worship as we see fit. There would be no free speech. there would be no right to gather in protest outside of the governor's mansion or the capitals in our cities, as has recently been done, criticized, and foreclosed upon. So therefore, I am passionate about that, because the very first thing, hear me, the first thing that you find in a dictatorship, socialist, Marxist, demonically controlled governments, is the removal of the weapons, any carry weapons, any opportunity for the citizens to keep and bear arms. And secondly, the removal of anything that's called the right of the freedom of worship. Look at North Korea. Look at Cuba. Look at Venezuela. Look at China. Look at Russia. And I could go on and on and on across the globe, ladies and gentlemen, where religion, freedom of religion, and the right to keep and bear arms does not exist. The people are then literally, whether physically or not, the people are incarcerated by the dictatorship leadership in their nations. We do not need that, nor do we want that in America, if we're going to continue to operate on the basis of our freedoms of religion, the freedom of speech. But ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issue, each and every day on this broadcast, we do so based on the authority of the Word of God. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Jesus made that statement to his disciples in John 8:31 and 32. And the key to knowing the truth, Jesus said to his disciples, is to continue in the Word of God. And then Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am truth." The only way we know truth is by looking at the Word of God, studying the Word of God, hiding the Word of God in our heart. It is the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. And without that, ladies and gentlemen, we'd be like a ship without a sail. We need to understand that Jesus said in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." And it's truth that we ought to be seeking in a society today where truth is rebelled against and it becomes repugnant to many. Don Lemon, Wolf Blitzer, and multitudes of those on the Communist Network News, I don't believe would recognize truth if it jumped up and hit them in the face. And yet we have those that's all they watch and all they listen to. That's the only source of news that they think there is out there. I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, we need to seek the truth. It was George Orwell a number of years ago that said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." It was the 15th century church reformer and theologian, Jan Hus, that made a profound dogmatic statement that I believe should be the pattern for your life and mine. It should be the hope that we have within us is truth. He said, and I quote, "Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death." May I suggest that to you? That as Christians, we seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth. We talk about listening to the truth. I've had those that get their hair on fire and all in hysteria and all uptight because some of the things that I say in relationship to truth. I don't speak from the standpoint of idle gossip or from the standpoint of just idle words or babbling. I'm coming to you each day with the truth of what is taking place and asking you to allow God through the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart. Open your mind and your eyes and to see what's happening. We're watching, ladies and gentlemen, in our society today, our liberties, especially the First Amendment liberty of the freedom of religion and the freedom of speech. We're watching that foreclosed upon. In fact, our Second Amendment right, the right to keep and bear arms, has been foreclosed upon by several of the governors in our nation that's taken the opportunity with the coronavirus pandemic to, under the shroud of darkness, pass bills, sign into law those bills that take away the freedom to keep and bear arms, the right to keep and bear arms. Governor Northam of Virginia has done that very thing. Some 212 bills he signed into law under the cloak of darkness. And 10, 12, 14 of those have been bills that restrict the Second Amendment right. So we need to understand the truth. Now, sometimes the truth bothers some people. That's all right. If I'm saying that and I'm speaking to you and it's bothersome, keep on listening. Understand what we're saying today, because it's vital to understand what's happening with no free speech, question mark, or should we couch it a different way? What about our Bill of Rights? Are they in such a position that they can be modified, changed, eliminated at the whim of an individual or a wannabe dictator, governor, or mayor? Is that possible? Is that taking place? The answer is, very frankly, yes. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner equipment like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the hurricane preparedness equipment with a full line of Honda generators. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time carries a full line of homeowner landscape equipment as well as the professional landscaper's equipment. And Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. They have a full staff of people that can answer all of your questions about power equipment and the backup equipment, backup generation equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. Find the gigantic flag, the American flag flying, right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. The base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I have a lot to say today, but we still want to entertain your questions and comments. You're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. The telephone number to reach us, to reach our microphones, 831-0917, 831-0917. Ladies and gentlemen, our First Amendment in our Bill of Rights gives every American the right of religious liberties, freedom of religion, freedom of speech, and the right to protest our government. In case you're not familiar with the First Amendment, let me just read it to you right from my pocket constitution. Congress shall make laws, no laws respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or the press or the right of the people, the right of the people to peaceably assemble and petition the government for a redress of grievances. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that is codified in our Constitution through the Bill of Rights. And as a result, it's been the track that our nation has run on. It has been the premise of what we found in American jurisprudence for all of these years. And therefore, ladies and gentlemen, we need to be concerned about it. But we have things like Facebook and Google and YouTube and other social media today that have decided that the right of free speech can be blocked, can be nullified, can be canceled. They're already blocking religious free speech, but now they're blocking citizens, organizational citizens, those that want to go back to work. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at an article here from Matt Staver, Liberty Counsel, and he says, according to the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, the polls show that 40% or more of our businesses won't make it for the next 2 weeks, end quote. Further, he says, restaurants are filing bankruptcy. Too many previously solvent hairdressers, barbershops, and Main Street America stores have already shuttered permanently their doors. Produce farmers are having to plow perfectly good crop back into the dirt. Dairy farmers are being forced to dump millions of gallons of milk. Unemployment and the desperation that inevitably accompanies it is skyrocketing. Rogue governors and other tyrannical officials intent upon disregarding the Constitution and the law are killing America with many unreasonable restrictions. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to hear from you. Do you think that's so? Do you think that what is taking place in America today is unreasonable? Do you think that the shutdown of America and its Attorney General Bill Barr said, causing Americans to hide under the bed? Do you think that is constitutional? Do you think that it's biblical? Do you think that it's all right? Are you satisfied with what's happening today? I believe you are. I hear nothing from you. I believe you are, for the most part. In fact, I have polled a number of pastors, and the philosophy and the attitude is, well, the government says we ought to obey it. Let's just keep our church doors closed. How long is long enough? How long is the shutdown? How long will the shutdown last? How long would it take for the governors now, even though the president said, let's open America back up? How long would it take the governors across America to have a trickle down where there's a freedom of religion that says, we can, as pastors, we can invite anybody, everybody, to come and worship without being fearful that we will have more than we should have in our buildings? We might be afraid that somehow, some way, someone might sit less than 6 foot apart from another. How long will it be before pastors and preachers and church members and Christians and religious leaders come out from under the bed and decide that we're going to worship God as God's word says that we ought to? The Bible is very clear, and it's in the imperative voice of the Greek text, that we are not to forsake the worshiping, coming together and worship in our churches, in our land, in our nation. We should not do so, according to Hebrews, the 10th chapter, the 25th verse. In fact, it goes through about verse 25, 6, 7. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, we need to be very, very careful when we understand what is taking place. But when you have organizers, those that are passionate about our Constitution, that will drive to the state to capitals across America, I believe we've had some 10 or 15 cases of that now, where they will go in automobile, truck, vehicle, caravans, and go to the state capitals, honk the horns, display signs, saying, we want to go back to work. Open the doors. Let us go back to work. They are legal under our Bill of Rights. They're legally carrying out the redresses, the grievances against our government. And yet now, as a result of that, ladies and gentlemen, some of them are being pressured and pushed. Some are being threatened with fines. And some of the governors are saying that, okay, you keep doing that, we're going to make the make it more stringent upon you with the lockdown requirements. Ladies and gentlemen, state after state after state where free citizens are rallying at the state capitol, seeking and pleading and demanding the right to go back to work. Yet these states, the socialist, Marxist, communist, democratic governors, simply threaten harsher penalties and retaliation and longer shutdowns as a result of that. Here's an article that I find telling. Title of the article says, Government Gone Wild. Coronavirus doesn't override the Constitution. I'm social distancing. I stay away from people. I do it voluntarily. This is written, by the way, by John Stossel. You may agree or disagree with him. That's all right. There's a big difference between voluntary and force. Government is force. The media wants more of the force. 10 states have no stay-at-home orders. Complains Don Lemon on CNN. Some governors are still refusing to take action, Don Lemon laments on CNN. Further in the article, the writer says, I find it creepy how eager some people are for authorities to boss us around. In Raleigh, North Carolina, people gathered to protest a stay-at-home order. The police arrested a protester and tweeted, quote, protesting is a non-essential activity, end quote. Now, ladies and gentlemen, these governors and mayors, police officers, when they put the badge on, when they go into office, they place their hand on a Bible, the Word of God, and they swear to uphold our Constitution. And ladies and gentlemen, for a constitutional officer to say that protesting is a non-essential activity and therefore a person can be fined or ticketed for doing so, is absolutely beyond understanding of my mind. Further, the article says, I bet you got a chuckle out of that, but our Constitution guarantees Americans the right to peaceably assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. The coronavirus doesn't override our Constitution, John Stossel says. Further in his article, protests also erupted in Michigan, where Governor Gretchen Whitmer imposed some absurd rules. She declared, quote, all public or private gatherings of any size are prohibited, end quote. Her executive order stopped people from seeing relatives, banning anyone with more than one home to travel between the two homes. Big box stores are allowed to stay open, but now they cannot sell things like carpet, flooring, furniture, garden supplies, paint, etc. Walmart stores are open, but their shelves have to be taped and blocked off for certain products. John Stossel says that's just simply dumb. Further, he says, but in California, police chased down and arrested a paddleboarder paddling in the ocean. He was far from 6 feet from anyone. In California, police fined a person $1,000 for just sitting in cars to watch the sunset at the beach. Yes, inside their cars. But the police said, quote, we want compliance for everybody because lives that we're trying to save, end quote. But it's not clear that demanding total compliance is the best way to save lives. Sweden, for example, took a near approach, opposite approach. In fact, in Sweden, they had no shutdown at all. In Sweden, the lines flattened, as they called it, with the infectious virus sooner than we found in America. They had no shutdown orders. People were simply left on their own recognizance to do that which is best for them and best for their neighbors to try not to spread the virus. Here, Stossel says, and I wrap up reading from his article, yes, they encouraged older people, that's talking about Sweden, to stay inside and sick people to stay at home. They didn't want hospitals overwhelmed. But otherwise, Sweden is carrying on today as normal without any shutdown, without any sequestering the people, without any badgering its people. And ladies and gentlemen, Sweden does not have a constitution and a Bill of Rights as we have. But yet they have been more sane in what they've done than the United States of America has done in relationship to the shutdown orders. May I say, ladies and gentlemen, Psalms 11:3 says it so succinctly. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? How should we respond, ladies and gentlemen, if we're watching our foundations being destroyed? Should we sit back in silence? Should we hide in the closet? Should we hide under the bed? Should we simply say, yes, Mr. Government, we're going to cease and desist anything that we have God-given authority to do. We're going to cease anything that will be called constitutional. We're simply going to allow you, Mr. Government, to override our Constitution and thus our Bill of Rights be foreclosed upon and nullified. Ladies and gentlemen, our nation must open. Our businesses, our churches, our society cannot survive a shutdown any longer. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Fauci, Dr. Birx, Bill Gates, by the way, if you're not been listening to our broadcast, if you're not familiar with it, Dr. Fauci is a wannabe little white-shirted dictator. He works for the Bill Gates Foundation. He works at the behest and at the direction of Bill Gates. Bill Gates is a eugenist. Bill Gates is a globalist. Bill Gates believes that we can prevent the destruction of Mother Earth if we reduce the population around the globe by about 100 million people. And therefore, he wants to vaccinate everybody in the world with his ID 2020 vaccination that will simply be able to track every human being on the face of the globe. And those nations that he's gone into under the guise and premise of being able to help them physically and medically, he has caused major death among multitudes and several of the nations. He's brought about the sterilization of multitudes of young women and young girls, because keep in mind, Bill Gates is a globalist. He's a eugenist. Bill Gates wants to control population and reduce the population. And yet here's Dr. Fauci, the white jacketed one that's been leading basically everything that said in the past 3 months out of the Capitol. They have basically been able to dupe our president, and I believe he has been blindfolded as to what's really taking place. And then there's Dr. Birx that's also on the board with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. They're simply utilizing the world organ, if you please, the world bullhorn through the WHO and Dr. Tedros to say what they're wanting to be said. Ladies and gentlemen, simply put, what we're watching in this case is the fact that these people have been leading the march as far as the shutdown of America. And may I say, we must not allow them to continue to dictate and to determine the decisions that our nation makes in the direction we're going in. They have knowingly, I believe, knowingly, and it's not a matter of mistakenly, it's not a matter of them not knowing. I believe they have knowingly used fake, false, phony data to cause panic and hysteria and fear throughout America. And as a result of that, we're finding major, major, major chaos and response from it. We need to get back to work. We need to get back to freedom. Here's an article that says we need to get back to work and back to our freedom. At the writing of this, at this writing, this is by Star Parker, the number of deaths by COVID-19 in the U.S. is 42,425. This is just a little higher than the number of deaths in the U.S. each year from auto accidents. It's no mystery how to reduce those 40,000 automobile deaths to zero. Simply prohibit driving. How many Americans would agree with this? Not many. Most Americans prefer their freedom and the benefits they get from driving and are more prepared to accept the risk associated with driving. If there were millions of traffic-related deaths each year, for sure, Americans would become more wedded to their cars and more open to intrusive regulations that would make it much more difficult to drive. When the news first broke of COVID-19, we were hearing estimates of a total of 2.2 million deaths in America. Knowing of the knowledge of the nature of this threat were very limited. There was very great fear, waves and casualties. Hospitals would and space and equipment would be without out of number, and patients would go without the benefit of this need. Under the emergency circumstances, many were open to the compromising of their freedom and agreeing to lockdown policies. But the picture has changed dramatically. By the end of March, Dr. Fauci was estimating 100,000 to 200,000 deaths, and less than 2 weeks ago, he revised it and said it would be less than 60,000 deaths. A recent opinion piece in the Wall Street Journal reported COVID-19 research results from Stanford University team. Based on sampling from Santa Clara County, the team estimates the fatality rate of COVID-19 in the range of 0.12 to 0.2%. Approximately the range of all of our seasonal flu fatalities and less than a tenth of the initial COVID-19 estimates. Certainly, this is not the final word, but data, what we are observing, but data and what we are observing points to a very strong severity of this threat being nothing like we were told to begin with. Ladies and gentlemen, it's because we've been sold a bill of goods, as I grew up hearing it being said among the adults in my youth. We've been sold a bill of goods. Ladies and gentlemen, I have an article. It's about a 10-page document. It's not just an article. It is published by the Federalist Papers, and it says, inaccurate virus models are panicking officials into ill-advised lockdowns. And we're going to analyze this document during the course of the balance of this broadcast. We're going to see what this document says and see what we've been told in America and how we've responded to it, and how it's been used and orchestrated, developed and planned and carried out by the socialist, Marxist, communist, dictator, wannabe Democrats in America. It's not a matter of it being happenstance. It's not a matter of being a mistake that's been made. It's a matter that what has happened in America with COVID-19, it is a deadly virus. I am not minimizing that at all, but it's no more deadly, if in fact as deadly, as the common flu. And yet knowing that, we've been lied to across America, and as a result of that, there's lockdown and the destruction of our economic system. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about a 1 minute break at the top of the hour for our news. Hang in there. Don't turn your dial. We'll be right back after the news break. We're going to continue this discussion and study today and talking about our religious liberties, our freedom of speech being dissipated and foreclosed upon.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.